There are those who believe that podcasts here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of neckbeard film fans who may have been the forefathers of the Movie Review Podcast. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now podcast to survive somewhere beyond Apocalypse Video.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Sister's a pilot and a warrior.
She's my sister, not my wife-to-be.
Vilgarkarp.
This disease has swept through every fighter pilot.
Remember, you're flying a Viper. Thinking what you wanted to do is enough to make it happen.
They send out patrols, do they not? Capture one.
You know what I love about Battlestar Galactica, Nick? I love the fact that when the show starts, you get the credit sequence, and then inexplicably, it looks as if you're looking at the credits through a telescope.
It's like
this?
The Power Rangers viewing globe.
Yes, it's such a weird thing that the opening credits of this show does. Like, we didn't technically see this. I don't think because we watched like the movie version of the first three episodes. Well, is that right?
I don't think it's – I could be wrong, but I don't think there's actually, like, a movie version. Like, we just watched it as is because I think it aired as a movie. It's technically defined as three episodes, but it's – I mean, I think it – for all presentations, it's always presented as, like, one thing.
A big chunk. Okay, because yeah. I don't remember this happening in that.
Well, I think that what we've now started to watch is actually like the series episodes as they aired on TV. So
in
these
TV
are going to be
format,
much more episodic feeling.
Yes. Okay. But I'm fine with that. That's totally to be expected. But what I was not expecting was like this, because again, this wasn't present in the first three episodes or the opening chunk, whatever. Was just like when you're looking at the credits, you're looking at it through what looks like a telescope, and it seems as if that's I feel like that's the intention because you also see a star field, like a blurry star field around the telescope. So it seems as if the suggestion is that the audience is like looking at the credits through a telescope, which is kind of fun.
Well, I mean, you did say something. So we are supposed, humans, us, are supposed to kind of be considered the 13th colony, which Battlestar is looking for. So I didn't think about this, but in a sense, your assumption may be true that, you know, this is supposed to be a thing that we as humans are seeing much further out away in space.
Which is just like an interesting thing that this show does. It didn't need to do that. But, like, the fact that they do that, like, it adds an extra layer. Like, it means that they're thinking.
It's important to, like, this out there right now for you, especially, Dave, because we
the
did
host
see,
of the show. I'm
yeah,
your host,
the host
Dave.
I'm
joined again by Nick.
Oh, hi there. By your command. We saw the pilot, and it was, I would argue that pilot is movie quality.
Yeah, I would agree.
And you liked it a lot, which is great. I'm really excited for that.
Well, we should clarify, movie quality of its time.
Yeah, sure. But it's not going to be that quality always.
No.
Because we're now getting, it's now going to become closer to a TV show, I would say, if that makes sense. So,
and I got that feel. Like, the lighting didn't seem quite as dramatic in these two episodes we watched. We're talking about episodes 4 and 5, Lost Planet of the Gods. And you could tell that it's not like a you know, I wouldn't say that it is a majorly drastic change in overall quality, but you could tell that, like, they're settling into their TV groove. Like, they had their upfront, like, look at the TV movie Battlestar Galactica, like, upfront, and now they're sort of settling into, okay, we're a TV show, guys. Just,
yeah,
you know, relax your expectations a little.
Well, I don't know if it's so much of the movies like doing that on, like, intentionally pulling back the quality. It's just like, they probably got, you know, they really went hard, and maybe they, I don't know this, but I'm going to guess they had a bigger budget for the pilot.
Yeah.
And they really went all out to impress people, to make us want to watch. And I think your interest was a testament to its success of that kind of first cinematic quality. Like, wow, we're really going hard.
That's here. What they used to pull people in.
Hey, and I think it worked. And I think we'll see a bunch of some things in this episode that, you know, had they happened in the pilot episode or pilot movie or whatever, would have been a little bit better, quote unquote. So, yeah, I think it's just fair to say, because there is a bunch of cheese, I think, that's going to be introduced that we see that I still think is charming, but it's definitely a shift, at least.
But again, it's not like a drastic shift in quality. Like you can tell it's a TV show, but it doesn't look like a cheap TV show. Like, it doesn't, I wouldn't put it on the same level of as like old, as OG Star Trek, you know what I mean? Where you could tell, like, the sets are, like, glued together and, like, are made out of cheap materials or whatever. Like, I would say the one striking thing was, the bridge sets, the lighting seemed a little different. Like, it seemed way more lit, like a standard TV show. Whereas in the opening, in the pilot or whatever, it seemed like the lighting was a bit more dynamic, a little more cinematic. This one feels overtly TV like, which isn't necessarily bad, but it is, you can tell, like, the quality has changed.
Yeah, but and to your point, I still get a kick out of the show, because I think there is enough, like, especially all the Cylon stuff I really love.
Love the Cylon stuff, because it's essentially, whenever we see Cylons in a ship, it's basically like that same shot that we always see, like a Viper is flying around them, and it's just that same shot of the Cylons going, huh? Moving up. Their heads, looking upward, like, what's that?
Well, even the Cylon bases, you know, with especially all the stuff where Baltar is in, remember the name, but their command ship or whatever.
Is that what it's called?
I think so. So in this point of the show, Baltar has, you know, finessed his way again because he's a slimy worm.
You mean
worm.
You're not going to kill me? Oh, that's great.
And he gets put in charge of this ship to track down the Battlestar and all the humans. And he gets to the commander of the battles of the Cylons in the previous episode. It's introduced like this kind of like big elevated throne thing. I describe it as like a malefic Lincoln's Memorial kind of thing. And
you're literally sitting like 10 feet high.
Yeah, and the way they're postured, you know, and Baltar, he's got his junk hanging out.
Oh my god. Okay, we need to. So in the last, and when we last left our intrepid heroes, we left on a cliffhanger. Like the master commander or whatever his name was of the Cylons is like, all right, Baltar, like, your logic seems okay. We'll use you to capture the humans. They may trust you somewhat. You could command this ship. And the way that the pilot ends, it opens up, the door opens. He's like, we'll have our lead commander, whatever, Lucifer, help you. And this thing comes in. It's like this weird looking robot. You know, it has like this sort of, it's wearing like a gown. And it has like this weird, you know, robot see-through head. And it's got like the lights that go left and right. And it makes you think, because its name is Lucifer, that this thing's going to be badass. But when Lucifer walks in and like talks to Baltar, like, I'm going to be like your guy, he ends up sounding like, oh, hello, I'm Lucifer. He sounds more like 3PO. And I'm like, where did the intimidation factor go? No, it's like, it shifts. Like, you think it's going to be this intimidating thing, and it's actually like freaking C-3PO, and it's actually kind of funny.
It is.
Like, it works.
Lucifer? I'm sending you a base ship entirely under your command.
It will be my pleasure, Bolter. I think I can assure you, with some sense of pride, you will inherit the most capable Centurions in all the Empire.
Yeah, Lucifer, and there's something about Lucifer's character that they build in, which I think is funny.
Oh, we could maybe learn a lot from this devious little human shithole.
But Lucifer also has his own ambitions, despite being like a robot. And he's like, because he makes this mark, like, oh, I don't know why they elected that guy as the leader. You know, it should have been me or whatever. It's funny because like there's this human element to Lucifer too. Yes. And I just love like Lucifer's look. That him and Baltar are probably the two things that I remember the most from when I watched it, you know, probably over a decade ago.
Well,
now,
they're the most memorable thing about this batch of episodes, Lost City of the Gods. Like, anytime it cuts to Baltar on that base star, and it's just him in his throne, and it's really gone to his head, by the way, this, you know, being able to lead this base star or whatever. Like, as you said, he is, like, splaying to maximum effect. He's got his arms, like, laid out, as stretched out, and the chair revolves, like, whenever Cylons come in to give him an update on what, you know, where they're at with capturing the humans. Like, he's just like, you may speak. You know, it's gone to his head to such a crazy degree, and it's the most enjoyable thing about these two episodes.
By your command.
Speak.
I bring good news. We believe we have located the Battlestar Galactica.
Oh?
A scouting expedition of Colonial Vipers has landed on a listening post in the quadrant Otarsis. They were permitted to escape, as you instructed.
How far is this outpost from us?
1.5 hectares. Since the Galactica is kept to a minimum speed by the slower vehicles under her protection, at light speed we can easily catch her within a centon.
Is she aware that she's being detected?
No. Our fighters will take her by complete surprise.
As they did at Carillon? One base star is not sufficient to assure victory over the Galactica. Find her, but follow just beyond her scanner range.
Until we can call for reinforcements?
Such a call would surely be picked up by the Galactica. She would be alerted and escape.
Logical.
Yes. Now perhaps you see why the Imperious leader put me in command.
But if we cannot call for assistance, and you will not attack, is not the end result the same? The Galactica escapes.
Have faith, Lucifer, have faith. I have a plan. All I need is the opportunity to present it. And that will come.
By your command.
Yeah, I think of it. It made me think of when Snoke first appeared, and he's a big giant.
Yes,
that kind of thing. But it's funnier. Like just the way I personally think it's, even though it's funny, it's also very effective. The camera angles that they use for Baltar, because
you are staring right up at his crotch the whole time.
Whether you like it or not, the camera's
going to
make
it or not, and this is Baltar's choice. This is a choice, because if you recall, you do not get the same effect with, like, you know, the previous Cylon mystery commander guy. He's not splaying like this, if memory serves. I mean, granted, maybe his body isn't quite the same. He can't splay in the same way that Baltar can, but I don't remember, like, when we saw the previous Cylon commander guy splaying like this. Am I wrong? But
I don't know. He definitely wasn't, and it might, like you said, it might be because of the... Because we never really see the commander clearly of the Cylons. I think that's it. We just see his, like, he's got this curly hair wig on thing. That's kind of what we see.
He's hard to make out.
Yeah, but Baltar also is, he is like the worm tongue on steroids. You know,
kind of,
like, he has the biggest, most instantaneously reactive ego kind of thing, where he's just... you know, you give him one shred of power and he's going and he's mad again.
Well, and also he's not good. He says, like, I can think like a human, and they're like, that's logical. We'll use you to help us. But he sucks. Like, throughout these two episodes, like, he keeps thinking, like, no, it's all part of my plan. But then they keep fucking up. Like, the Cylons keep, like, Lucifer keeps coming back, like, you were kind of wrong about that thing. He's like, why didn't you capture them? It's like, well, you told us to, like, stay, you know, off the stay on the outskirts of their sensors so they wouldn't detect us. Like, Baldur has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, it's funny. And you kind of keep getting a sense, like, somehow Baltar keeps getting away with things.
Yes.
And just kind of he's, I don't know, I get such a kick out of Baltar. Like, I watched this, I don't know, probably over 10 years ago now, and Baltar was one of the most memorable villains ever to me, just because of how slimy and repeatedly...
And so self-assured he is.
Yeah, he's so cocky, he's so, and he's also so weaselly at the same time.
Yes.
Like, somehow he always, and he even ends up, you know, skipping ahead a little bit, you know, he ends up, like, tricking Adama and Apollo and Starbuck, you know, he still keeps getting away with all this stuff.
Well, and the fact that anyone believes him at all is insane. Like, one of my favorite moments of these two episodes is to skip ahead to the second part, is when they find the lost planet of the gods, and it's all the Egyptian stuff and everything, all the pyramids, and then Baltar's there, and then I love how Adaba's first reaction is like, you son of a bitch! And then he, like, lunges sword, like, grabs him. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm like, dumbass Starbuck that's like, it's okay, I ran into Baltar, he let me go. It's like, Starbuck, Baltar is one of the funniest Weasley characters. Starbuck is one of the dumbest Weasley characters.
Yes, well, Starbuck is, like, he is annoying. He didn't grate on me as much this episode, I think. Probably because he didn't have as much...
He wasn't on screen as much as he was in the pilot.
Well, he wasn't creeping, you know, on Cassiopeia.
Yeah, that too.
And also, the girl that is his true love interest, Apollo's sister, I think Athena, I think is her name. Because, you know, they kind of reunite, and that's the girl when they announce Apollo and Serena's marriage. She's in that room too.
Yeah. Well, should we get into... So, like, as I said, we're talking about parts 4 and 5, Lost Planet of a Star World. Or excuse me, Lost Planet of the Gods. I was conflating the two titles together. Nick, do you want to give us the basic rundown of what's going on in these two episodes?
Yeah, the first... So, the whole show is basically them on the run from the Cylons, right?
Yeah,
so
that's the overarch. And they're on the run and from the Cylons. They're the last of humanity, and they're trying to find this mythical 13th colony, Earth.
Yeah, which is us. Cool.
As we said, we're staring at all this happening in that giant telescope.
So the kind of the short of it is, the first part is, you know, them trying to find an escape route. And what happens is Starbuck and Apollo are out on, like, a reconnaissance mission, and they kind of encounter this void, this pitch black void. And so they kind of get lost. Starbuck.
Hey, look, it's a void. Let's go right into it. lost.
Apollo, like, kind of, ditches Starbuck, like, there's a lot of recklessness on these pilots, just to be clear.
Well, he basically does a Leroy Jenkins. He's like, let's go! Oh, wait a minute, I can't find my bearings. Oh, shit, Starbuck, help!
Yeah, and Starbuck kind of saves Apollo, but they're floating around this void, and then they come back to kind of warn the Battlestar that, we're going to go into a big void. We can't go this way. And then, meanwhile, two other crew members are doing some other reconnaissance. Bloomer and I forget this other guy's name.
Mustache guy.
Yeah, mustache guy. 70s porn mustache guy. They actually land on a planet, and they discover a Cylon outpost. And so they discover it, and then they head back to the Battlestar to report this too. And turns out that Boomer and the other pilot contracted some kind of illness
I just, simply being on this planet was enough for them to contract this illness. Like, there's no scene of them, like, accidentally stumbling and, like, accidentally, like, sticking their hand in, like, a weird puddle of goo. Like, they just happen to be on this planet, they contract it, and that's it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, if you notice in this episode, there are a number of points, or plot points, I guess I should say, that they actually just skip over. They don't really bother explaining or anything like
it's
that.
Wild.
So they do like this. These both these episodes, they trim even some fat off. I think I would hazard to say probably to their benefit. So when they're flying back, like you said, we don't see them do anything like that would suggest that they could get sick on the planet. But when they're flying back, Mustache Man kind of has trouble flying his piloting his
Viper. He gets
all sweaty,
like, you know, like, what's going on?
Yeah, Boomer's keep shouting him, get your nose up, get your nose up.
Well, and this is set up to be like, oh, God, he's going to crash his ship. But no, he just writes it up and it's fine. Like, it's totally circumvented. It's just...
Yes, and so they get in there and they basically shortcut. They don't go through the decontamination process.
Well, because Ed Begley Jr. is throwing them a party.
Yeah, there's a bachelor party for Apollo. I didn't say this, but Apollo, one of the first scenes, Apollo and Serena announced that they're going to get married.
We've been dating for 2 weeks. We might as well.
That's why I have always had audience members. I always have to remind Dave that not everything is happening from moment to moment. Like, there's a bunch of time that we don't see.
Well, and that's one of my criticisms of the show. It's like, we have no idea how much time has passed. Like, for us, it's just literally been a few episodes, and now they're getting married. And the kid is like, so you're my new dad now, right?
Well, as you'll see, they're constantly, I don't remember if this continues, but they're constantly, how do I say, changing dynamics between characters.
I know.
So...
Apollo, right? No, is that
Apollo's the main guy?
Okay, yeah. Oh, Apollo, like, yeah, we're getting married. Oh, so by the way, I've been training to be a starfighter. Like, what?
You never told me.
Yeah, it's like you never told the audience either. All this shit's just happening off screen in between episodes.
Yeah, so it is funny. I mean, that they how much they don't actually show.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering how, if they knew, because this show didn't last forever. It was relatively short lived.
It's only like 12 episodes, right?
No, actually, I think it's a bit longer. So,
I mean, like this season, there's like this, and then there's this season, which is only not that many episodes. And then there's a second series called Galactica 1980, right?
Yeah, that's right. But the original, series, it's 24 episodes.
Okay, so not counting Galactica 1980.
All right, Galactica 1980 is 10 episodes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But still, 24 episodes doesn't feel like,
it's essentially
a huge
two seasons nowadays.
But, I mean, so correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you have a lot more knowledge about shows about, especially, like, this time period and this genre. You know, you think about something like Star Trek. It seems like 24 episodes...
That's standard season for back then.
...is... But it's all. But the fact that it went from Battlestar Galactica, and we'll probably read about this as we get further into the show, but it seems like this didn't really succeed very well, or wasn't able to establish like a legacy, like even Star Wars. You know, the fact that, you know, people still talk about Star Wars, and we're still, you know, we're living in Star Wars world. It just didn't have that kind of impact and staying power that some of the other properties did.
Well, I think, I'm not exactly sure, but I think one of the things that kind of like hurt it was the fact that it was such an expensive show. Like, even as we mentioned, like, you can tell the quality sort of shifted a little bit from the pilot. Like, it was still an expensive show to produce, because you got to remember, this is like the late 70s. And you know, there wasn't a ton of great big sci-fi shows on. It's like, all right, what was there? Doctor Who and Star Trek has been off the air. So it's like, there's
Doctor Who, another show that has so many, I don't know what you call them, seasons or whatever,
series,
different doctors.
Whatever. Yeah.
So it's just another like sci-fi show. Like, I know there's other ones. I don't remember what year Quantum Leap came out, but I'm like, that's another
that was, like,
show.
Late 80s.
Okay, so I mean, it just seems like for sci-fi shows of this nature, this one seems on the shorter side.
No, yeah, and again, I feel like I read this somewhere, but like it was just kind of a big budget, and like the ratings just kind of weren't there. Like, the ratings sort of dropped, and you know, because I think the pilot was big, but I think over the course of time, like the ratings kind of dropped, and I think with Battlestar 1980, they were kind of hoping to bring people back. But I think it was kind of more of the same thing, a little bit of diminishing returns, a little bit ratings were dropping, and it was an expensive show. So they just kind of ended it.
And I haven't seen, I didn't watch, what is it, Galactica? Yeah, Galactica 1980. I didn't end up watching it, so I remember how this series ends, and I can see why people probably wouldn't care about Galactica 1980. but yeah, so I think it's just this show didn't have the impact, at least, that some other shows did. But so we did get a wedding announcement. So that's why Boomer and Mustache Man are going. They're trying to skip ahead to get to the bachelor party. And because they do that, they end up contaminating the whole squadron, because all fighter pilots are in their barracks and they're all together, and they all get contaminated from this illness. And the only people excluded are Apollo and Starbuck. So they have to kind of shut down or quarantine and cryogenically freeze every pilot, basically.
Which initially you and I didn't realize that they were frozen, because like we see them in tubes, but like I thought they were just like operating things, but it's later told that they're frozen. And the only suggestion that they're frozen is like they sprinkle a little bit of what appears to be frost like on their chest.
Yeah, it did not translate very well. No, they did not make a very
like the window isn't even fogged up or anything like that, like or like frozen up, like ice. Yeah,
they
did. You know?
They could have been having like dry ice or fog or whatever.
Something. Yeah.
But yeah. It's not visually clear that they're frozen. So it's a good thing that they told us.
Yeah, if they hadn't, I wouldn't have known. And one fun thing about this, the doctor on the Galactica is George Murdoch, who, if you remember, he played God in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, or should I say fake God?
Yeah, and he really gives it all, because he's like yelling. He's we gotta shut this down.
Close the door! Quarantine! Like, we gotta go back to that planet they went to. It's the only way we're gonna save these kids. He's got a great voice like this.
Snowden, Doctor, is there any possibility? How soon can some of our pilots be returned to duty?
Commander, I told you, it's not a matter of how soon they will return to duty. It's a matter of how soon they will die. I want permission to return to wherever the two warriors landed. I feel that if I can isolate the source of the infection...
Doctor, that asteroid is a parsec behind us and has a Cylon Sentinel post. We can't go back. Not with only two Vipers to provide cover. That would be suicide.
My health team and I are willing to take that chance.
I appreciate that, Doctor. But I'm afraid I must agree with Colonel Ty. I can't grant permission, not without the proper escort.
Commander, going back there is the only hope those boys have.
The only hope?
The only hope, sir.
It's a matter of their lives.
So anyway,
I'm telling you, I gotta do what I gotta do, and I gotta get back to that planet to find the cause of this contamination.
There's orders.
Also, Odama, this Battlestar... Can it carry my power throughout the galaxy?
Oh, that's okay. Now it's all coming back to me. I'll never forget the you.
What does God need with a starship?
So
I would love to see Kirk have a battle of wits with Lucifer.
Oh gosh. Yeah,
this James T. Kirk is quite a unique individual. We may be able to learn a lot from him.
I'd like to study him. Altar, you're out.
Captain Kirk splays much more better than you do.
His stance is so much more powerful.
And barrel-chested. Anyway, yeah, everyone gets contaminated, as you said, and then it kind of becomes a thing. It's like, well, crap, like we got a lot on our plate right now. It's like we're running away from the Cylons. We have this black void that Starbuck and Apollo told us about. And Adama's going crazy at this point, because he's going full religious, like, oh, they say in the writings, the ancient scrolls or whatever the hell, that like you go through an endless black void and eventually you find a star. And that's the 13th colony. And everyone's, and you can tell everyone else is just sort of like, oh, God, this fucking 13th colony bit shit again.
Yeah. It's so funny because Colonel Ty, he's like, I love that he says this, and it like puts into perspective how crazy Adama does seem. He's like, dude, there are thousands of voids out there. Like, why do you think this is the one?
Yeah. Because Apollo said it was really big.
But you mentioned something earlier. So it ends up being revealed that Serena had been training to be a pilot. Not a fighter pilot, but...
shuttle pilot.
Yeah. And so, but this is... Then what happens, because all the fighter pilots are quarantined, they don't have a crew, they actually take on all these other pilots, which turns out to be all women. Now, I think this is something that I actually respect about this show, and I think Star Trek has kind of a reputation for this, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this show actually does a lot of things that emphasizes, like, diversity and different characters of different minorities. And so I think it was actually kind of cool that they basically turn all these women into fighter pilots and kind of give a whole army or crew of these Vipers that's all women, just led by Apollo and Starbuck. And they kind of introduce that these women are going to be joining the cause in a more active way.
I think you're absolutely right. We mentioned on the last episode that Battlestar Galactica feels like sort of a middle ground between Star Trek and Star Wars. And this feels like one of the more Star Trek-y elements that that Battlestar brings in, like the diversity and everything. And it is appreciated. And it's funny, too, because these shuttle pilots, they go on this mission to go back to the planet where the contamination occurred to get, you know, so God can find out what the cause of, so Dr. God can find out what the cause of the contamination was. And they end up getting assaulted by Cylons. And I love this because all of the women, there are a few women in particular that end up getting like kind of like a little bit of bloodlust, it seems. They're like, yeah, this is awesome, like shooting these suckers down.
Yeah, they totally own
it.
Yeah, exactly. They like it. They enjoy it. They immediately become warriors. And it's like, yeah. And they, I don't feel like the movie. I don't feel like the show is doing it in a mocking way or
no.
I don't know. I just think it works well and it's fun. That's the other thing. It's fun. And I'm thinking, like, as a kid, if you're watching this would be a cool, like, I don't know, episode for that, you know, young girls could watch and also get enjoyment. Like, I think they have enough presence here where it's not just an offhand mention or anything like that. They're actively involved. And there's even this scene. I don't think that it plays as well as it is on paper, but there's a scene of after the battle where the women are all celebrating and then Apollo and Starbuck feel left out.
They're so like separate. Funny. They're sitting off to the side.
Yeah, they're like all the girls are like congratulating themselves and they're talking about the exciting things.
How many kills did you get? Oh, I got 5.
Yeah, there's one girl in particular that like becomes like, I think that's supposed to be Apollo's wingman. Oh no, no, Starbuck's wingman actually. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And she turns into like a total badass and just like kills all these Cylons.
She's like taking a razor and cutting a line into her arm for each kill she gets. I'm up to 20 now.
She somehow has an eye patch later or something.
But you're not missing an eye. Like, it just looks cool. But what I do appreciate this about this is, at least I don't recall this happening anyway, is that they don't, Starbuck and Apollo do not think they're ready just simply because they're women or anything like that. Like, that doesn't get played up at all. It's the whole thing is like, no, we don't think they're ready because they're shuttle pilots and they've only been training for like a couple weeks or whatever it is. And like, we see them training a little bit. And funny enough, we see them training in front of like a rear screen projection, which... I'm not sure to whose benefit that is other than the audience watching the show, because like a rear screen behind the pilot is not going to immerse the pilot. They're not going to see that screen behind them. Well, there's no screen in front of them.
I'm not with you there, because I think like we see the backdrop, but we don't see the rest of the room. So we like presumably like everybody's out of the room and the whole room gets dark.
You're suggesting maybe the screen like went up into the ceiling or something like that.
It's just a
like
better simulator than you're giving it credit for, because we don't see it. That's all.
But in any event, I appreciate that they didn't say like, no, you're not ready because, you know, you're like girls and stuff. Like, they didn't go that route. They were simply just like, no, because like you're not fighters and you've only been training on shuttle work for like a couple weeks. So it's just we don't want to bring you along because you're inexperienced and this is a dangerous mission.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. But that's very like, you still see that stuff even today. It's like, oh, you know, it's a woman. You can't, she can't do it. You know, yeah. She's, because she's weak or
it's
fragile.
Like, oh, you're a woman. You know,
yeah. I mean, that's such a tropey thing that I didn't even think about that. But you're absolutely right. And they didn't do that at all. Like, it was literally because they were all pilots, and the only one that really gets singled out is Serena, and that's because it's Apollo's to-be wife.
Yeah, he doesn't want her to get killed.
Right, so there's a little bit more explanation there. But, yeah, and so they basically protect the Doctor's crew so he can revisit the planet. And then it's funny because we never see them.
Resolution!
Yeah, they kind of skip over anything else that happens on the planet. Like, who knows what the Doctor actually
did.
They have this
space fight, and, you know, when they get to the planet, they kill all the Cylons, and then they're like, all right, Doctor, you're free to go down and do your thing. And we never see any of that. It's just none of that. And then the next episode, all the fighters come in, they're like, hey, we're better now. It's like, oh, okay. It's like, it's never revealed that, was this, like, a Cylon trap to, like, contaminate them? Like, this just happened to be, like, a byproduct of going down to the planet, and it wasn't a result of Cylon planning? It just sort of happens, and then they forget about it.
they just don't even care about explaining it, which is funny, too, because the show, I think Dave picked up on it this time, but they have a lot of made-up jargon in this show.
Oh, my. It is off the chart in this episode. This episode begins. It's Adama, Apollo, Serena, and her kid, and, like, a few other people having, like, dinner or something. And it literally opens with, like, Adama being like, oh, Serena, if I were 100 yarns younger or whatever the hell, basically creepily suggesting, like, if I were younger, I'd bang you. But it's talking about someone who's going to be his future daughter-in-law, and it's creepy.
Serena, I just can't remember when I had such a wonderful repast. You outdid yourself.
I didn't do anything. In fact, I'm all thumbs. If it hadn't been for Athena. Oh, you should see her.
Well, believe me, I am an expert in the art of culinary graces. And you're a fine, Serena. You're a genuine fine.
Yes, she is. She's certainly.
And if I were 100 yarns younger. But some young man will soon fall into the lap of early glory.
Yeah, Adama definitely was a little sus there. But,
and they just have this conversation where they're basically, like, the kid is like, you're, like, he's basically calling Apollo out for being stupid. They keep hinting, like, hey, when are you guys going to get married or whatever? Can you be my dad already?
Oh, yeah, like, boxy.
This really awkward conversation at the dinner table, and it ends with, we're getting married, right? Okay. And again, you mix in all this stuff, like, you know, this jargon, like 100 yards.
There's literally, like, a whole ass line that I don't remember if it's Adama or Ty or whomever, but I don't even know what the sentence was. Like, it was just filled with, like, nonsense. Like,
we're one centon away or whatever.
It's like one centon away from the Jupiter galaxy that was looking at the flipper flopper and turning the thingamabob. That's when I turned to you. I'm like, this is just nonsense.
Exactly. Now that is exactly the trouble. You two are the next on patrol, aren't you? I don't wish to bring this momentous evening to an end, but we have been gorging ourselves this delicious food for nigh on 3 millicentons, waiting.
This is just the most, like at least in Star Trek, they're using words that I have heard before that are, like, technical terms. But with this, it's just a centom or centaur.
Yeah, they have completely made up words. I always get a kick that they've managed to sneak in the F word by saying frack. Yeah. That's always funny to me because I mean, this is the 70s. They're saying frack all over the place. It's very clearly what they're saying. Yeah. And they have a lot of other made up words, yarns, centons, one word that it's another curse word or whatever, Feldergarb. so there's a bunch of, like, nonsense jargon words that show up.
I only hope that it increases throughout the show, it more and more.
Well, the whole reason I brought it up is because it's like they're clearly not afraid to go nonsensical with their dialogue. So
yeah.
Why didn't they do anything to explain the illness? Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was microscopic
fleet flopper
bobbers.
Yes.
But they don't say it at all.
Maybe it was just George Murdoch was like, I ain't saying this shit. What does it even mean?
I have more integrity than that. I'm God.
I'm God. I'm space God. They're like, he hasn't been in Star Trek. What's he talking about? Like, I can see through time. 12 years from now, I'll be in a Star Trek movie. That's right. Star Trek's coming back, and it's going to be in movie form. I'm telling you.
I have high hopes for myself. So, yeah, I mean, they basically don't address what actually happened on the planet. What happened?
Not at all.
Although all we know is that the doctor cured them.
Yeah, I hope he comes back though. This actor is fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, I think most of the acting is actually pretty fun. I'm a big fan of Adama. I think he's got such a meditative demeanor. Like he's always he's very serious. And he's very, but at the same time, he is crazy. Like he's following these, myths and everyone's against him, which I get and I like, but he still commits to it. And, but anyways, also another point that they make clear is that Adama is going to head through the void because he believes that there's this planet inside.
Well, they're in the void for a bit, right? They're kind of just traveling through the void, and it's during the wedding of Apollo and Serena when this lone star just sort of appears, like conveniently right above them in the window. They're like, "Hey, look at a star!" It's like, "That's it, we got it," you know.
And speaking of I'm glad you brought up the wedding scene because the way they set this up and they shot it was actually pretty dang cool. Like, this
it's like we're low angle looking up at them, and it looks as the way it's shot. There's like candles everywhere, and everyone's like, "See," it looks like they're in like an amphitheater set up or something, and there's windows behind them, and like it looks as if they're floating.
Well, yeah, and I almost wish, because what this tells me, because they do, especially Adama references their mythology a lot, and it's clear that it is baked into their society at some levels, you know, the same way like we might have like In God We Trust on our currency.
This is like the most ritualistic thing we see on the show at this point.
I wish we got more of this, actually, because when they did this wedding scene, like the way they had it set up, the camera angle, these candles, the outfits, the way everybody was, you know, kind of standing together, it was very cool. And it was like lore building, you know, and I wish we got more of that, other than because most of the stuff that we've seen so far is kind of just told to us, or it's a little thing like his necklace or something like that. We don't get a whole lot of like them living or practicing whatever it is they're believing.
Yeah. Like Adama's typically the only one, like for the most part, like talking about this type of stuff in the show. And everyone just sort of gives him a side to like, all right, old man, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And no one takes him seriously, but nonetheless, so I think that's, if I remember correctly, like after they succeed with the mission to go to the planet, back to the planet for the cure, that's when the first episode ends. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like, all right, space god, space doctor, you can come and get your thing, and then it just sort of ends. Well, it ends with Baltar being like, all right, you got to capture some of these damn pilots, what the hell, man? It's just like, well, yeah, so they stay on the edges. It's like, so, I know what I told you, listen to what I'm telling you now.
I don't remember if it's part one or part two, but at some point they do capture Starbuck.
Yeah. So, well, Baltar tells them to basically be a little more aggressive and like, just freaking capture one of them, okay?
Yeah, so and their plan, and so they're able to capture Starbuck. So at some point, there's part one and part two of these episodes. So at some point, I do know that the pilots come back in part two. So because there's going to be another battle, and that's actually a good moment because Boomer's he's leaning on this.
He's still rail. Not quite 100%.
And Colonel Ty is like, oh, you can't pilot. You can barely stand up. And and Boomer's like, you can pilot the Viper in a seated position.
And Ty is just like, ooh, you got me. You can tell everyone behind him is thinking, burn. But yeah, Starbuck gets captured. He talks to Baltar, and Baltar's just like, "No, listen, dude, you gotta no, seriously. Like, I'm on your side, man. Like, it's just like, I'm trying to bring this whole operation down from the inside, man."
Don't you believe me? I definitely didn't betray you.
Yeah, exactly. And this episode is really where the Lost Planet of the Gods angle really comes in, because they go to the star, they go down to the planet, and they see all these pyramids and all these writings and all this stuff. But Baltar knows where they're going. He's like, oh, that crazy old man and his religious beliefs. I know exactly where he's going. And so he gets there before them. And it's just this, I mentioned it earlier. It's this great moment when Apollo, Ty, I believe, is Ty there?
Oh, Ty's not there. It's Apollo, Adama, and Serena.
And Serena, they're down there, they're looking at everything, and they go into this chamber, like, oh my god, this is it, like, the 13th colony, and they're telling us where to go. And then Baltar just sort of walks into the room, like, hey there.
And he walks out of the other side of the wall, and he's like, hello.
He's like entering stage right, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, hey, exactly. Guys.
That's exactly it, yeah.
That's what it feels like. He just kind of emerges from the darkness, like, hello. They're like, and again, I love Adama's reaction, like, you son of a bitch, and he just lunges for him. That's the correct reaction when you see the guy that literally wiped out humanity.
Yeah, it almost feels like there's room for like a laugh track or something like that for an audience to be like, oh, it's Baltar.
Yeah, it's like a Kramer moment. He walks in like, hello, Adama. Like, ah!
Oh my god, exactly a Kramer moment.
Oh my god. He's like slams down some money on like a table or something, and he's like, well, I'm out. I sold out humanity.
Yeah, again.
Again. I couldn't last 5 minutes without selling you people out.
Jerry, what's up with all these Cylons?
But basically, he's still trying to pitch the same thing. He's like, no, I'm on your side, man. I'm trying to bring this thing down from the inside. I don't like these robots any more than you do, man. And yeah, again, Adama is having no part of it. He's just like, oh, this fucking guy. And eventually, the Cylons come. Lucifer has learned a lot from Baltar in these two episodes. He's like, you know what? What if we just firebomb this stupid Egyptian planet with Baltar there? Because he clearly sucks, right? I'm taking over. Or it's more like, I'm taking over this operation now.
Yeah, because then we see Lucifer in the throne room chamber.
Yes, where he belongs.
Exactly. That's
and
what I'm
just,
talking
they're
about.
They're just firebombing this place with Baltar there. And I love it because Baltar is getting... It's so great where we leave Baltar. He gets buried under this column, this Egyptian column. He's like, damn you, Lucifer!
Oh, man. It's funny. It's funny the things that I remember or I re... that stuck out to me that I still remember from the show. Mm-hmm. And I remember this. I think it's such a great... Because we presumably think that Baltar is going to die here, you know. It's so great because this pillar falls on Baltar, right? And they do, Apollo and Adama do
try
to help
save
him.
Yeah, because
but they realize
guys.
They're not going to, so they basically leave him, and he's just cursing, you know.
Yes,
he's like pleading to Lucifer. It's such a great scene. It's so dramatic. It's actually, you know, Baltar is like feels like a Shakespearean villain guy. I feel like. And he has that kind of like where he's cursing the skies and he's just like, you know, monologuing all the time.
I hope that he comes back. I hope that Lucifer went down to the planet after, you know, the humans left and they grab Baltar and his legs were crushed. And I hope he gets Cylon legs.
Oh, my gosh. That he
I mean, I'm guessing
Cylon.
That's probably not going to happen, but I'm assuming that Baltar's not gone from the show. There's no way. He's too big a character for them to get rid of. Unlike Serena, who dies in this second episode. She gets shot by some Cylons when they're trying to escape the Egyptian planet. And like initially I was like, oh, she's not going to die. Like it's only the fifth episode. Like, and she's too big a star. But apparently it was because she was too big a star as to why she was written off the show. Because apparently, according to you, she was wanting too much money.
Well, hold on. Don't spew this as fact. Because
I talked to my man Baltar. He told me the whole story.
I have a vague memory. I think we should not say this because this could be completely made up. Or if we're going to say this, I just put it out there that I may have completely made this up.
Allegedly.
This could be total misinformation, but I just have a memory. Like I said, because it's been over 10 years since I watched this, but I have a memory of reading something like why she left. So Serena's character is killed off, and that seems like a pretty shocking thing. You know, this is Apollo's new wife. She's been a bigger presence in the show. She's Boxy's mom, but I thought I remember something about a contract conflict or something like that. But again, I just put it out there. That could be totally made up. I just have a vague memory of something like that. So don't hold me to that.
Well, there's nothing about it in the ChadDB trivia. There's literally only two bits of trivia, and it's not that interesting. I don't know, but it did strike me as odd that they that she got killed off so quickly. She got five episodes worth. I mean, that's a pretty lengthy bit of time, you know. So I guess it just feels that, again, because she was a big character, it was shocking that they killed her off. But that's just going to give more motivation to Apollo and Adama to hate the Cylons and all that stuff. So I don't hate it, but it was like shocking when it happened.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any notes. No, I that's probably all made up. So I take it all back. I just thought I think maybe another reason is like I'm still surprised that they kill her off in the show. I was surprised, like I thought, you know, okay, maybe she'd be even in a coma or something like that. But no, she full on dies.
Now Apollo's a single dad,
right? Which is like a funny thing in the show, because Apollo like basically becomes a single parent in the span of like two episodes.
Since we don't know what time is in this show.
Yeah, because they don't have a clock on the wall for Dave.
Well, come on. Usually their lines drop where it's like, we've been traveling through space for months or something like that, but they don't do that. It's frustrating.
They're in space. It doesn't matter.
What? Time doesn't exist in space, Dave.
It's a vacuum, Dave.
It's a flat circle. Where have you been?
But this episode, there's a lot more focus on this planet that they go to. So yeah, we kind of brushed over it, but yeah, they just indulge in this like Egyptian kind of esque planet with hieroglyphics on the wall, and they have the chamber is actually kind of cool. They have like this tomb thing that opens up, and then they go below, and then moment. Baltar full on like just desecrates this grave site
immediately. He's like, let me look at it, let me touch it.
And there's a scepter in there that I thought was gonna do something, but it doesn't. But it looks cool, and Baltar's just like, I need this.
Well, and it's funny too, like we get some straight up Raiders of the Lost Ark moments here, like pre Raiders of the Lost Ark, with Ladama's little like, you know, necklace or whatever, the ancient thing that's been carried down from generation to generation. Like it's a Raiders of the Lost Ark moment where like, you know, the light comes in through like a gap. It like creates like this laser beam off of his necklace and it like opens something up. I'm like, did George Lucas rip this off? Was this payback for them for in his mind ripping off Star Wars? Like he's like, I'm going to steal that for Raiders. How about that? Because it was very reminiscent of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and this predates Raiders of the Lost Ark by a few years.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a big inspiration on a lot of popular things.
But yeah, it is. That's one of the funnier episodes when they open up this like tomb or grave or whatever, or this casket, and Baltar's mini like, let me look, let me get out of the way, let me see, I want to look at it, I want to touch it.
Yeah, just Baltar.
I want to do some desecration.
I want to do some desecration.
But yeah, this is kind of the episode. Like it's mostly just them farting around this planet, you know, and it ends with Serena getting shot in the back and she's dead now. It's like, oh great, I'm a single dad. It's just like, oh god. So we're gonna have that to look forward to. And I'm sure Apollo's probably gonna get into some other love triangle as the show goes, because there's still quite a bit of episodes left. There's like 20 episodes left or so. So I'm sure that'll probably be a thing. But all in all, I would say I enjoyed these two episodes, Lost Planet of the Gods, this two-episode arc. As we said, it's a definite step down in quality overall, but not to the point where this show feels cheap all of a sudden. Like it's just a lower rung down on the quality factor. But nonetheless, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'm digging the show, and I'm glad we're doing this series.
Cool. I think one thing that consistently remains cool, aside from Baltar and Lucifer, I'll never get tired of the space fights and the Vipers in this show. Like
they still, yeah, they still have that sense of like speed and like force. You know,
there's a moment. It was funny. Both Dave and I thought that because they have this sequence. They have this launch sequence, and there's like three buttons on their joystick, Viper.
Fire, and, Turbo, yeah, we, and something
we
else.
We thought that one of the female characters was going to click fire in the tunnel.
It seemed like they were setting that up.
Yeah, they were going to mess up. But no, they just click fire. But I love the launch sequence. I think it's cool that it looked just the way the Viper like shoots out towards you. Just cool.
It's visceral, and especially for, and it's great for like a show like this of the time. Like it was shot really well. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. I want to, it makes me like wonder like it, what kind of Battlestar Galactica toys were around in the 70s. Like that would be cool.
Oh, I'm sure there was a ton of stuff.
Which is actually, so I'm just looking at the Chatopedia right now, and I don't know what this means, but it lists, you know, the director and the writer of the show. Under the writer section for the next episode, it says there's a teleplay by Donald Belisario and then story by Herman Grove. So I don't know if there was like a teleplay going on at the same time, or there was an original teleseries or something like that, but it does have that listed.
It just says teleplay.
Yeah, so if you're on the Chatopedia, well, you just got the Lost Warrior, and then under the writing section it's got teleplay and story by.
Well, teleplay I think is kind of a name that that's another word for like screenplay.
Oh,
like
okay.
For whatever reason for shows they call it teleplay instead of screenplay. It's kind of weird. I mean, television, teleplay, screenplay, you know, I guess they have to have that distinction because TV is not as good as movies. So it has to have a downgraded version of the term. It's just silly. But
so, yeah, next time we return with The Lost Warrior.
I hope we get more Lucifer, man. I want Lucifer in every episode. I want closure on what happened with Baltar. Did Lucifer come down? He's like, you sad sack of shit. Let me help you. We'll give you some Cylon robot legs and send you on your way. Like, we have not seen the end of Baltar, I tell you that much. And we have also not seen the end of Lucifer. My favorite character in the show.
I'm glad that you like Lucifer so much too, because he's such a great sci-fi character, and I love his voice. Like it's very contrary to what you think he's gonna sound like. Just so fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back, folks, with more Battlestar Galactica, The Lost Warrior. See, here's the problem with signing off. There's no real, like, Battlestar Galactica live long and prosper thing. Oh, you know what I'll just say? Ah, frack!
I personally am a big fan of By Your Command.
Well, folks, we'll see you two yarns from now when we return.
That's a good one.
I was told in an instructional period that some people are just naturally slow. That doesn't mean they're actually stupid. They're just slow.